Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're getting an update from Stillwater Critical Minerals. That is the new name from Group 10 Metals, the symbol still being traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol PGE and on the OTCQB under the symbol PGEZF. We are chatting again with the President and CEO, Mike Rowley. Now, Stillwater Critical Minerals is focused at the Stillwater West project. This is in Montana. The company also holds a project in Ontario and Yukon. Now, Mike, first things first, let's talk about this name change. It was announced just last week, June 9th. Why change the name to Stillwater Critical Minerals over that Group 10 Metals?
Well, that's entirely based on Stillwater, obviously. We see such potential there. And you mentioned the non-core assets. We are indeed, we've sold one off and we're looking at for deals similar to that on the others. This is all part of our focus on Stillwater. We see world-class potential there. This is a historic and high-grade American district. America is looking for these exact commodities. Montana actually is seeing a lot of interest for majors and deals in place. And we've got Robert Friedland even turning his attention to electrification metals in the U.S. with this Ivanhoe Electric IPO. So we feel it's time, especially given what we see in the geology at Stillwater, those resources we debuted last October, the expansion potential we see, it's definitely time to focus on this asset as our flagship and grow it to the world-class potential that we see there.
Mike, because some investors may be listening to this call for the first time, why don't you quickly remind people of the mineral wealth within the Stillwater project and how this also parlays next to what your neighbors have over at the Stillwater complex at Sibanye?
I'd be glad to. Yeah, we're in the happy position to share an iconic district with a $13 billion major. It's very rare for a junior to be in that position. It happened during the bear market. We were in the right place at the right time with the right team. There's 100 million ounces of the highest grade palladium platinum in the world already in this district. We share that magmatic system with Sibanye Stillwater. We are applying a different mine model. We do have the more narrow high grade reef systems that they have. We're focused on this plat reef model, which is a bigger bulk mineable deposit style like Ivanhoe's plat reef in South Africa. That's the namesake of a district on the Bushveld. 400 million ounces total on the Platte Reef, South Africa, tens of billions of pounds of battery metals. It's attractive because it brings underground bulk mining potential, and it also brings those battery metals to the mix. So we have a really attractive, internally hedged blend of commodities that includes nickel, copper, cobalt, but also the PGEs that the district is known for, platinum, palladium, rhodium, and then gold. So it's an attractive suite of commodities. These are very much in demand in the U.S. We debuted our inaugural resources last October, 1.1 billion pounds of nickel, copper, cobalt, 2.4 million ounces of PGEs and gold. That's a robust debut. We see very good potential to expand that. That's a priority for this year. And I guess final point, we recently added two geologists from the Platte Reef Project. One of them is our VPX, and we're very much looking forward to turning them loose in this district as we advance Platte Reef in Montana.
So what's some of the work that's going to be done then here, Mike? You guys already have, as you outlined, a large resource. What's some of the work to move this project forward and make it even more of an attractive takeout target?
Sure. Well, the market really hasn't baked in last year's resource yet. Of course, it's been a rather flat year for juniors. We're holding up better than many. But our analyst coverage back in January suggests 133 million market cap, and we're sitting at about 50 right now. So there's lots of room to move up just on that basis. As you note, de-risking the asset and growing the asset is the priority. We certainly have the attention of majors in addition. Our focus will be on drilling, continued drilling and geophysics this year, and continued discussions with bigger players. To that end, we expect to drill up to 10,000 meters and also do a third tranche of IP geophysics as well.
Well, Mike, so far there's five main mineralized areas and you've been focused on three of them. This is over at the Crow Mountain area, which is basically the hybrid and the DR deposits. That's the CZ area, and that's also the Iron Mountain, which is the HGR target. So you got three of these areas that you've been building most of the resources on. Will there be plans to go back and keep expanding those three in addition to the other two, or are the other two more of a long life situation? Could you walk us through which targets will be getting the focus?
We simply have too many targets, so we have to focus. The Chrome Mountain area on the west there, that's showing the most interest geologically, I guess is how I put it. The magmatic layers there are quite disrupted. The MVI model shows possible feeder zones reaching down 6 kilometers. That and the HGR area at Iron Mountain are the areas that have the most interest from Danny Grobler, our new VPX, also Craig Bowe and the team in Red Lodge. Those are the areas that are getting the focus simply because of expansion potential. The lesser two deposits are there and they're open for expansion. We simply have to focus on the low-hanging fruit here. So to answer your question, in our May news release, you can see the 6 holes we drilled at Chrome Mountain very nicely. And we think we've done a good job of filling the resource in between the DR and hybrid deposits at Chrome Mountain. And that sort of gives you an indication of where this is going. All 5 are open along trend and at depth for expansion. We will continue to focus on those 3. We'll also wrap some metallurgy work around this and start to summarize some of the good metallurgy work done by AMAX in the 70s as well.
Okay. So again, the focus very much on this Stillwater project and growing, de-risking, continuing to move down that step. What about some of these non-core assets then, like the project in Ontario, this Black Lake Drayton property, or the Klulani project in Yukon? What's the company's strategy around these non-core assets?
Sure. Well, we acquired these during the bear market time when you could get these district scale assets inexpensively. And these are all adjoining some excellent projects in good districts. That was the point. With the focus on Stillwater, you're absolutely correct. We've signed a deal on the Ontario project with Heritage Mining. That's a new listing. This is a really good team, and they have geology experience from the neighboring Treasury Metals Goliath Gold Complex. And they are just now completing their IPO. That will give us significant exposure to the gold space and a really good program of discovery bonuses there as well. That's, of course, the Rainy River District. So Treasury's success plus Rainy River's more than 10 million ounces, that's compelling. In the Yukon Klawani Belt, Nickel Creek Platinum is our neighbor, and they're the most advanced deposit in that belt. We have 255 square kilometers of claims on that Klawani ultramafic belt. This is nickel copper PGE stuff. And we're in some good conversations ultimately towards a deal there as well. So the focus here is on monetizing these assets and focusing on Stillwater.
Well, Mike, just as we wrap up, now that you've rebranded as Stillwater Critical Minerals, what's the main takeaway you want investors to think about the company as you move forward throughout the course of this year and into next year?
That America has got the memo on critical mineral supply and the importance of domestic supply. You know, there's a good article recently that China controls 80% of the world's critical mineral supply, 60% for nickel, 100% graphite, other metals in between. America's have got that message now, and we're bringing the third wave of critical mineral supply to the Stillwater District. It produced high-grade chrome during the war years, and then, of course, starting in 86 and ramping up ever since then, it's been producing palladium, platinum, lesser amounts of nickel, copper, and rhodium and other things. This is a place that we can build mines, and this is a truly world-class system to advance our vision of becoming a very large-scale supplier of critical minerals, low-carbon critical minerals in the U.S.
All right, Mike, we'll wrap it up here. Thank you for taking some time outlining this name change and really the focus here of the company on the Stillwater project. Again, company is called Stillwater Critical Minerals. If you have any follow-up questions for Mike regarding any of the work plans or any of the goals of the company moving forward, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. In full disclosure, Shad is a shareholder. of Stillwater Critical Minerals. The company will also be at a couple conferences coming up. PDAC, they will be at booth 2451. And also a conference in Quebec called the Mining Investment Conference. That's June 19th to 21st. So if anybody is in town and attending those conferences, be sure to swing by and say hi to the team. Mike, thank you for your time. As mentioned, I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thank you, gents. Good to chat.